I'm Dr. Howard Zucker, New York State's health commissioner. The spread of novel coronavirus is a major public health challenge. Most of us can avoid illness by washing our hands often and avoiding people who are sick. But the elderly and people with existing health conditions should also avoid crowded places. We're working 24/7 on this evolving situation, so stay informed and don't be misled by rumors and false information. And most of all, please stay well. Visit ny.gov/coronavirus.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Align, saving kids of all ages and all stages for mental health issues, including addiction and school issues. If you know somebody that wants to be trained to get a free naloxone kit, which is prevention for opioid overdose, please give them the Mask number and we will get a kit delivered to their home. It is an inhaler. It's a very short training, maybe 15 minutes, and we will get it even delivered to your home for prevention of opioid overdose. Everyone should have one in their home, in their place of prayer, in their shul. It is good to have one for an emergency. And our confidential number is 718-758-0400. Maybe you want to write it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, maybe someone you next to in shul. Maybe people are struggling now with anxiety. There are therapists that are available to do phone sessions, Skype sessions. They are approved with lots of insurances. So call the Mask Helpline. We'll try and arrange it for you. Our number is 718-758-0400. Speaking about coronavirus and anxiety, I'm happy to have on with us Rachel Tuckman. She's a licensed mental health counselor. She's been in the field for over 10 years, working with diverse population, and she works with teens that are struggling just with pressures of adolescence and life in general, and adults that are struggling through difficult life circumstances. So, women, if you're home, taking care of your families, and you're struggling, or one of your family members, she works from 5 to 18-year-olds she works with, and adults. So let's welcome on tonight Rachel Tuckman. Thank you for being on with us this evening, and it's always nice to work with you for programs for the call. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much to Mask for having me, and thank you for everything you're doing in the community. I'm so happy to be a resource and help in any way I can in this difficult, difficult time.
Yeah, it is a very, very, very stressful time for many people in many different ways. And so many people financially are struggling as a result of being out of work. Parents are struggling without having help at home so that they could go to work, those that need to go in to their jobs. People are struggling having large families, small families, just kids, young kids, teenagers, people with ADD. I mean, there's so much going on. And then there's the part of technology overload. I mean, we're all listening and watching, you know, different WhatsApp groups, different news stations. Rachel, how do you suggest that people stay properly informed in these scary times?
So that's a really important question, and I think that it's so important that we address this. It's really important to stay updated and to know what's going on, but there is a fine line between being informed and being overloaded. And we have to understand that there's this theme in media coverage that's, they have these ongoing themes in their reporting, and they induce these feelings of powerlessness and helplessness and overwhelm and lack of stability. And they're not trustworthy, right? And we're lacking reassuring leadership when we look at media. So it's very important to have media coverage. It's necessary, but you need to be self-aware that if it's getting too much and you're feeling helpless and overwhelmed and scared, that you need to disconnect. And this is a scary time. You're not crazy for feeling that way, but you have to mind your mind, I say, right? Get the facts, not rumors and misinformation. Facts can minimize your fear, right? So I would say if you're on WhatsApp groups that are giving information that they're literally just forwarding rumor after rumor after rumor and pictures of weddings that are going on in communities, and it's stressing you out that those communities are not following guidelines, or, you know, this doctor is saying this about the virus and gloves and masks, you have to tell yourself, I'm not looking. I'm muting the chat. I'm going to ask my friend to take me out of the chat, and maybe when this all blows over, I'll come back to the chat. Maybe, you know, if you're on social media, maybe unfollow some accounts. You can always follow them when this all passes, because it will pass, you know, or just mute them again, like I said. But you have to have the facts. And if you don't, that can cause even more fear and even more stress. So it's really important that you know the right information. And I would say it's important to just listen to the organizations and the experts that we know are giving us the facts. So the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, or if you're, you know, in the United States, the WHO, right, the World Health Organization, medical experts that are experts in epidemiology and disease, right? We want to be talking to them. We also want to be listening to our community leaders who are rational and level-headed and are telling us, please listen to the medical experts. They know better than us, and this is like a really serious situation, so we need to be following them. So it's really a matter of really being responsible with what you're taking in and noticing how you're feeling when you're reading certain news sites or listening to things. And I would say maybe even give yourself set times during the day that you're allowed to read the news and take in media. So I would really limit that also to a half hour, an hour, and make sure that it's a source that is reputable. And if you get some kind of text or a message, don't just assume it's true. Google it. Look it up. Ask your friend who you know is on top of these things and knows the right information. Don't just take it all as true, because there's a lot of scary stuff going around.
Yeah, there is a lot of scamming going around. People are sending out a lot of phone numbers to call for help. I know that somebody contacted us. There was an email out there on how to get assistance, and they're asking for social security numbers. Please do not just call any of those numbers. Call your local community council. Yes. Verify first about any programs that are available now to help pay the rent or help pay for different things that you may be struggling with. Yes. So I recommend that you do call your community council. Yes. So let's talk about the right way we should feel right now.
Right. So I think that in this situation, we are facing something that this generation has never, ever faced before. And so a lot of people are wondering, like, how should I be feeling? What should I be doing? And my answer is, there's no right way to be feeling. All feelings are normal. Don't panic about panicking. If you're angry and moody, or you're crying and stressed, or maybe you're kind of just feeling even and like maybe calm, I would say all of those are normal. Everybody's dealing in a different way. And we just want to make sure that we accept our feelings as they are and that we don't overthink it. This is how I'm feeling in this moment. I'm going to let it happen. You know, if you feel like your emotions are too heavy for you, I would say sometimes you don't have to deal with them. We don't have to feel every feeling as it comes up. So you can, you know, do things to distract yourself if you need. But, you know, we're all facing really heavy, scary concerns, economic concerns, health concerns, worrying about our older parents or our, you know, children who maybe have health issues or those kinds of things. Like, we're all in such a scared, panicked state that really any feeling that you have is okay. And I would say just accept it and, you know, hopefully you can figure out the best way for you to deal with it. And whatever that looks like, assuming it's not harming you or others around you, that's what you have to do. And it's really important to honor those feelings and just don't judge yourself. We just need compassion right now. Emotions and kindness, that's how you have to be dealing with yourself.
So I and my colleagues, executive directors of other organizations that consult with each other, with the professionals. We've had calls, we've had meetings, we've had ongoing chats about things that they're advising us to impart onto other people. And the one thing they are saying is about the impact that fear has on one's body. So I'd like you to talk about the fear.
Yes.
And how it impacts.
Okay, so fear, when we feel afraid, our body, our brains do a really amazing thing. Our brains and our bodies are made to protect us, right? Which is really an incredible gift from Hashem, from God. So when we feel fear, we get this response in our brain, in the amygdala. It's a part of our brain that basically pushes us to either into a fight or flight or freeze action, right? I'm sure everybody's heard of that, fight, flight, or freeze. So either we run away, or we freeze, or we fight back, right? So fear is the way that our body helps mobilize us to ensure our survival. And it helps us think about the consequences of our actions, right? So I'm going to avoid crowds. I'll stay home if I'm sick. I'm going to, you know, if I don't feel good, I'm going to quarantine myself and I'm going to act responsibly, right? It helps us prepare. I'll get the basic necessities because I know maybe I'm not going to be able to get out. It helps us take responsibility to maintain our well-being, right? But it can also become panic. Fear can be paralyzing and overreacting, right? And that's because our brain wants to make sure we survive. So it looks for all the possibilities that can harm us. And studies show that most of the things that we worry about don't even happen or not in the way that we imagine. So that's really important to remember, that when you feel fear, it is a valid feeling that you're feeling, but you have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself to calm yourself down so that you can think rationally, because when you become reactive, you're in fear, and then you lose the ability to think rationally. And when we see scarcity and shortage, like we see pictures of Trader Joe's with empty shelves and the lines from the supermarket snaking around blocks and blocks, we feel fearful, right? So we need to put ourselves in the position to slow down and solve problems, right? So that might mean that you have to, you know, do a crossword puzzle just to get your brain, like, focused, or journal, write in a journal, or call a friend. You know, some people are really having strong reactions to this social distancing, feeling like they're cut off and that they're alone, and it makes it very hard to think and to function. And we also know that if you are feeling stress and fear and sadness, it has an impact on you physically, on your health. So you could have migraines and rashes and digestive issues and memory issues and fatigue. And then you might even start feeling like, oh my gosh, maybe I have coronavirus. I'm having some of these symptoms. And not to say that you don't have it, you might actually have it, but it also might be a stress and fear reaction. So it's so important that when you feel these things, to notice it and to take care of yourself and say, okay, I need to slow down. I need to check in with someone. I need to speak to somebody. I need to take a minute and just go listen to some music, or, you know, go walk around the block by myself and get some fresh air. But take care of yourself. When you start feeling these feelings, don't let that panic you more. It means that you need to take a break and you need to just recalibrate and get balance.
And it's important to know that you should, if you're living alone, you should Skype, you should do WhatsApp video chat, you should call somebody, because just yesterday I was speaking to a woman I checked in with. She's alone and she says, it's very lonely. It's getting depressing. I can't leave my house. And she's a very active woman. And I said to her, video chat, Skype me, we'll talk, we'll see each other's faces.
Yes.
Do that with people. So those people that are alone, and even if you're not alone, and you have children or you're a single parent with children at home, make some time, close your bedroom door, make some time to maybe, if you have access to video chat or Skype or whatever, then try and see someone else's face, talk to somebody else on the video chat or whatever, so that this way you don't feel so lonely and down and depressed and alienated.
Right. Yeah.
So let's talk about the kids.
Yes.
Okay. What do you have to offer, some ideas that parents could help the kids handle their feelings of fear?
Okay, so I think it's really important. The first thing is to give your kids information, right? And that means developmentally appropriate information. So what you tell your 5-year-old or your 4-year-old or your 3-year-old is going to be different from what you tell your 15-year-old or your 18-year-old. But you want to be having an honest discussion at their level about what's happening, right? If you feel worried or fearful, you can share with them that you feel worried or fearful, but you have to make sure that you're not hysterical or putting things on them that they don't need to know about. So you could say, I am worried about this because I don't know what's going to be, but then I would back that up with, but we're going to be okay, you know, and we have to believe that, and we have each other, right? You don't need to start, like, telling them about your bank account or you're worried daddy's going to lose his job or you're going to lose your job. Those things are not for a child to carry, but you can let them know that you also feel scared and overwhelmed and that it's okay to feel that way and that you have each other. Show them how to have a support network and tell them social distancing does not mean social isolation. You can still FaceTime your friends and you can still do a conference call with all of them and say hi. And we can go take a walk, the family, around the neighborhood and get some fresh air. And we can play outside in the backyard and get movement. We can take care of ourselves in all these ways. So you want to talk to your kids about talking about their emotions, feeling their emotions. You want to be open and honest with them. Also, especially if you have older kids that have access to social media, you need to be talking to them because they're going to see and hear a lot of things, and you want them to check in with you, to fact check with you. Also, we have to note that our kids are on devices a lot more than normal, and there are predators out there that are going after kids that are on these devices. And, you know, if your child is not one who's going to communicate you and tell you somebody's contacting me or whatever it is, then that could be dangerous territory. So open conversation with your kids, no judgment. This is a safe space to talk about how you're feeling. I'm here for you. There's no right or wrong way to feel. We're all in this together, and we're going to get through it together. And again, any bits of information that you have, you need to fact check before you tell your kids, but share with them. But nothing scary. Just, you know, again, the basic facts, like what we know, what we're supposed to do, right? Telling them what are the medical recommendations and being an example yourself of following the recommendations of the medical experts, you know? So if they're telling you, don't go to weddings, don't go to bar mitzvahs, you're not going, you know? And you're not saying, well, there's only 15 people, I'm going to go. I'm not going. I'm going to wish a mazel tov from afar and I'll send a gift. You know, so you be an example also of being a leader and doing the right thing to help people stay safe.
I want to bring up the issue of technology. As you said, there are predators out there. Please make sure that the children have the computers in a public space, kitchen, dining room, living room, in front of you. Don't allow them to do their work alone in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Please make sure you have your all your technology properly. You know, this is TAG, T-A-G, and they're an excellent company. Everybody, I'm going to get the number and I'll put it on for everybody so that those people that haven't yet reached out to them is so important. We now more than ever, because like you said, there are predators and all our kids, if you have 5 kids in 5 different areas, doing their schoolwork online, you can't keep up with everyone. So have them in an open area.
Yes.
So important. Don't allow them to take the phones and the iPads and the laptops and the computers and go to different rooms alone, please. So kids are feeling sad. They're feeling scared. And, you know, maybe both parents are not on the same page. Maybe one parent feels we can't go to the bar mitzvah. We'll call, we'll text, we'll email, we'll FaceTime, or whatever. And then the other parent says, no, I'm going anyway. Yeah. What do you want to say to those parents that are not on the same page?
So for the parents that are not on the same page, you have to find a way to get on the same page. And this is not just for your kids. This is for, like, the greater CLAL, because it's not just about your kids and keeping them safe, because maybe your kids are going to be fine, but this is about other people's lives and the safety of other people and the health of other people. And if you really want to be an example to your child of what it means to be someone who cares about other people and who understands that the world is not just about you, then you have to sometimes make those tough decisions and be the example. And it's a wonderful model also of kind of how to handle differences in a relationship. So, yeah, I really want to go to this wedding because I think that our friend is going to be upset. But I also understand that my family's safety comes first. And I don't, you know, I don't want to risk maybe that Bubby gets sick if I'm sick and I don't know about it. And I don't want to put other people at risk. So it's so important. Parents, you need to get on the same page. You need to have to find a way to get on the same page. And if you're having trouble, there are therapists that are available that are doing virtual sessions that you can have just a one-time session to get clarity if you need, but you need to get on the same page because, again, it's not just about your immediate family and your child. It's about thousands and thousands of lives that could be affected by your being irresponsible and your not communicating effectively with each other. So it's more than just your family. It's more than just, you know, your marriage. And it's important to really work as a team together for everybody to make sure that we keep everyone safe.
And also the kids then get confused when the wife says or the husband says, don't go out shopping, to the wife, or the wife says, don't go to shul, and they say, no, I am going, whatever it is that they may not be on the same page about, then it waters down the message to the kids about what's really going on.
Yes.
And then they get confused.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So the kids are feeling sad and scared. Like, let's talk more about what ideas you can say to first the very young children. Why is daddy home from work every day? And, you know, whatever their question may be, why do I have to wash my hands every time? Why do I have to take off my shoes at the door now? Like, we never have to. Like, very young children, please, let's review how parents could talk to them about what's going on, please.
Right. So for young children, it's really basic information, which just sounds like, you know, there's a virus going around now that's getting people sick, and we don't want anyone to get that sickness. You know, you could say most people who get it, it won't be strong and it's not going to hurt them, but there are people who are older or already sick and they could get sicker with the virus, and that's why we have to stay home, and that's why we have to make sure to wash our hands extra, extra, and we're not having get-togethers, you know, and there's no vaccine or medicine for this, so we want to make sure that we do our part to protect people who are really in danger if they get sick. And then you can tell them what they can do to protect themselves. So remember, if you cough or sneeze, you know, do it into your elbow and use a tissue. Wash your hands. Keep your hands away from your face and your eyes and your mouth. And remember that there's amazing doctors out there who are giving us information about how to stay safe, and we're going to keep listening to them, right? And you want to tell your kids also, if you have any questions, like, ask me, come and talk to me. And you want to emphasize for them how they can take care of themselves so that they have to rest and, you know, go to sleep at regular sleep and wake times. It's hard when they're not in their regular routine of school. Keep your kids in their routine of school as much as possible. I get that it's hard also to juggle when you're working from home or not working and you're dealing with your own stress, but this helps kids to feel less overwhelmed when there's some kind of, like, structure to them. And again, that just means that they go to bed at regular time and they wake up at their regular time, and that they brush their teeth in the morning and they get dressed. And then if they're on an iPad all day because that's how you're surviving to balance your work and whatever, there's no judgment. You do what you need to get by. But they should have regular meal times. And again, you don't need to whip up gourmet meals for them. It could be chicken nuggets or fish sticks or cereal, whatever you need, but give them breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks in between, and just give them some semblance of a routine. And that makes it feel less overwhelming and less like they're spinning out of control, you know? And I see there's a lot of these, like, beautiful, like, schedules that parents are doing with homeschooling, and I know that creates so much guilt for parents who can't do that. And you don't have to do that. You don't have to have this beautiful homeschool schedule. just, again, if your kid's on an iPad all day because that's what you need to do, you do that. But in between, you can talk with them. You can laugh with them. You can put on music while you get dinner ready and dance around the house. You can put on educational apps also if they're on the iPad. But just remember that whatever you need to survive in this time is perfect and amazing for your family, and don't guilt yourself. You need to be happy and calm, and that's really what counts. So whatever you need to get by.
What are your thoughts, Rachel, on people talking about spiritual reasons for all this that's happening? You know, we know that Hashem wants us always to work on ourselves. What are your thoughts?
So I think that in times like these, we always want to like find a reason why these things are happening. So a lot of people like to speculate what Hashem wants from us. And my answer is, we don't know what Hashem wants. And a lot of the time, doing these things just makes divisiveness and makes people feel bad about themselves and makes them feel disconnected from Hashem. So I say, if you want to think and introspect about how you can become a better person from all of this, that's amazing, and do that for yourself. But don't put it on other people, because nobody has, unfortunately, a direct line to Hashem. So nobody knows why this is happening. We just have to have emunah that it's for a good reason, and whatever's supposed to happen will happen. But just for yourself, say, how can I be a better person? How can I grow from this and change? And don't put it on other people, because I don't think that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Right. Rachel, can you give us some perspective on social distancing, please?
Sure. Social distancing, I think that a lot of people, when they hear that, they get scared, right? Because what social distancing means for us right now, how it looks, is not being in shul, not going to simchas, not, you know, being able to stand near someone or share meals together. But if we kind of shift it and switch it around and say, yes, I have to be physically far away from someone, but number one, like I said earlier, it's not social isolation, it's just distance, right? So I can still connect with people, just I have to find different, more creative ways to do it, right? So call my mom, check in on her, send groceries to my friend, or if I'm well, drop them off at her doorstep because she can't get out. I can still do acts of kindness and good things for people, but also remembering that this is the most selfless thing we could do for other human beings who are at risk, that we're saying we're going to be uncomfortable, our lives are going to be difficult so that we don't cause anyone harm. And what a beautiful, incredible thing. We so much believe in Judaism about taking care of other people. We are so much a communal religion. We believe that our actions affect other people. And this is a tangible example of how our actions can save or harm. And if we say, I'm going to stay inside, even though it's hard for me, so that I don't hurt someone else, and I give someone a chance to be okay and to, you know, to live longer and be with their family longer, then I'm going to do it. And I'm hoping that all these incredible acts of chesed that we are doing help bring this to an end very, very soon.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for making the time tonight for being on. And I hope the next time we have you on, we'll be talking about some happier ideas for people in happier times.
Amen.
And
yeah,
we should all be well. And those that need a refuah shleima should have a complete refuah shleima.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for being on. I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and for right now, let's keep the hug tight on hold.
Yes.
So let's keep distancing in mind, and let's do a virtual hug. Thank
yes.
you.
Thank you
and
so much.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Howard Zucker, New York State's Health Commissioner. The spread of novel coronavirus is a major public health challenge. Most of us can avoid illness by washing our hands often and avoiding people who are sick. But the elderly and people with existing health conditions should also avoid crowded places. We're working 24/7 on this evolving situation, so stay informed and don't be misled by rumors and false information. And most of all, please stay well. Visit ny.gov/coronavirus.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.